You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Highway 55, Burger Shakes and Fries, a proud corporate underwriter of WCNO, is a 50-scene, old-fashioned diner that takes you back to the old days where you can enjoy a fresh burger, fries, and a malt, or a cheesesteak that you've been looking for but couldn't find. Every Thursday from 5:30 to 8 at Highway 55, you can see the cars of yesteryear. Highway 55, Burger Shakes and Fries, is located at 4007 Southwest Port St. Lucie Boulevard and Parr Drive. Highway 55, Burger Shakes and Fries.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries right here in Stuart, Florida. We greet you all wherever you are on the radio or you're watching on the internet, whatever. We greet you to our program that we've been on the air 19 plus years, and we've called this program all this time, what, Donna? Raising the Standard. And
amen.
So we're honored to be here with you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. As we said, we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And so we're blessed to be here with you. We got some things we might share with you today. We hope it's exciting to you to find out some things that we can find out from the Word of God. There's a lot of mysteries in the Word of God that God wants us to find out about. You know, remember, Jesus told his disciples that they were given the privilege to know the mysteries. Remember that, Pastor Donna? Of the kingdom of God. Well, we're in the kingdom of God. It's within us. And so that we can receive and understand and learn these mysteries as well. And so the more we find out about our Savior, the more we fall in love with Him and the closer the walk that we have with Him. And His purpose is for that purpose to change our lives. That we'll never be the same again. We won't live like the world. We won't believe like the world. We won't talk like the world. We won't do those things in the world. We're in this world, as he said, but we're not part of this world. Hallelujah. Our kingdom's not here. It's somewhere else. And we're looking forward to that kingdom coming. But right now, we know that the kingdom of God dwells in us because Jesus told, it was mentioned in the book of Luke, that the kingdom of God comes without observation. It comes in. We ask Jesus to come into our heart, and the kingdom of God comes, and he dwells with us, and we remain with him all during our life. And I tell people all the time, it's not how we begin this race, it's how we end it. And I'm down the line here, almost...
within us.
That's right.
Within us.
Yeah, I'm down the line here almost 34 years. And so it's not how I started, it's how we end. And so we want to stay in that place with him.
Amen.
So we're excited about being with you today. Don and I co-pastor this church in Stuart, Florida, and we have... for 23 plus years now. It's hard to believe how the time goes by. And this program, we've been on this 19 plus, and we Pastor Donna. And so we're honored to be here with you, and we hope you glean something from what we talk about today a little bit, because our purpose is to teach, train, and activate people to know the kingdom of God, the things that God has for us, and that we can grow and mature in those things. And that's what the church should be doing today, Pastor Donna. You know, then we think about it. You know, it's not necessarily a bless me club, but we have a good time. We have meetings and all that. And the doodads and the goosebumps, those are wonderful. But the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to teach, train, and activate the saints that they might go out and do the work of the ministry. So it's got to be a teaching thing. That's what fivefold ministry is about. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, they all have to teach. And the teaching is what causes us to grow up. And we've said this a lot on this program over the years. If you read over there in Ephesians chapter 4, it proves to us that we cannot fully grow up and be mature in the body of Christ unless we have an element. Now listen to this. An element or a dimension from all five elements of the fivefold ministry. We need a dimension from the apostle, from the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. We need it all to fully grow up. Now we may not all be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. We may just be saints in the
kingdom.
We're
all saints, though.
We're all saints. But we need to have those people as an influence in our lives.
And we're all ministers.
That's right. We're all ministers to bring reconciliation. So what do we do if we don't have those around it in our ministries and all that, or our congregation? Invite those that walk in that realm to come in. We've had Gary Brooks with us for years. He's passed away now, but he's been with us for years when he was coming. And he's a prophet in the kingdom of God with us. And the dimension of things that he brought forth from God to give us is incredible, how it causes us to grow up and learn some things that we need to know even about ourselves, didn't we, Pastor Donna?
Amen. Praise God.
We prophesy over people. So we need all that. And so that's what this is all about, to bring us to that place to grow up and mature. That's why Jesus put it in place. Amen, Pastor Donna?
That's right. That's what the Word says.
That's what it says.
But you know, I think about, though, everyone is a minister,
mm-hmm.
and we're all called to go out and share the gospel.
Yes, we are.
And we're all called to be bold and stand up, just like we were all called to vote this year.
That's right.
Not everyone did, but we should be doing all the things that God has called us to do.
Ministers of Reconciliation.
I just want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida, and you can also listen to this radio broadcast on WCNO on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to WCNO.com. And you can look on Saturday at 12 noon, and then we would be on Raising the Standard. You can see that, and you can listen to some of the podcasts that we have done in the past, or you can listen to this one over again
if you happen to miss it.
I want to thank everyone who came. We had several people come that listened to us on the radio, come and read at the Bible Reading Marathon.
We just finished it. Oh, boy.
We had a very successful Bible Reading Marathon.
Lots of readers this year.
Lots of readers. We had beautiful weather.
Yes.
Beautiful, lovely parade, which Pastor Gene was in, and we had a float. And everything went really, really well, I believe, on the 99% of the time.
That's right.
So, you know, you always have those little snags, all those little places the devil wants to come in and cause havoc. But, you know, we had a great, great turnout. Great,
sure did.
A great weather, and the Word of God. But the most important thing is the Word of God went out.
That's right. So we thank all of you that participated. Yes.
And I've had a couple of people said, you know, a couple of forgot to come, or yeah. I've had a couple of people send me text me and say, I'm sorry, I forgot, or this happened or that happened. Those things happen, you know. But God it goes on, you know. When there's always somebody there who steps up to the plate and starts reading, or we pass the baton, because it's a marathon. It takes
Amen.
Takes 90 hours to read the entire Bible. Just think, that's only less than five days. So if we read the Bible every day for 15 minutes, we would read the whole Bible in a year. And that's not very long, 15 minutes, is it?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. No, so it's a great thing. And I want to mention also, we have service here in Stuart. We have a Sunday service tomorrow at 10 a.m. If you'd like to come and visit us, we're in Stuart, Florida, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right off of Monterey and Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza, right there next to Save a Lot Food Store.
Amen.
So we're in the plaza, so don't look for a standing church. We lease the Realtors Auditorium, and so we're there every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we do have Shabbat on Friday, and this Saturday we are not going to be having, today we won't be having anything, because we're still in a recovery mode,
yeah.
but I think we're all doing really well. So I want to thank you for that, and we just our 16th year. So you know, the Bible, the reading went out, and the Bible says His word will not return void. And so I just thank the Lord that God's word went out again this year, and as we were facing Jerusalem or Israel, and it went forth again this year, and it's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish what it was sent out to do, and we just really feel that it's going to help, it's going to protect us from terrorism, amen? So that was part of what the vision was about, having a Bible marathon 16 years ago.
Yep.
So, praise the Lord. Well, what are we going to talk about today, Pastor Gene? I want to give our phone number.
Okay.
It's phone number here. If you'd like to call us, it's area code 772-285-8255. 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007. And if you'd like to have Pastor Gene's book on pictures of the Messiah and the feasts of the Lord, we're coming up on Hanukkah. We'll
won't
be teaching
long.
On Hanukkah soon.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's in the book, and so are all the other feasts and many other things, charts. I know it's a blessing, would be a blessing to you. It's only $25 plus $3 or $4 shipping and handling. So if you'd like that, you can just give us a call, and, or you can mail a check to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995, mm-hmm. and that would be Spirit of Prophecy.
That's right.
Amen.
We'll be glad to get it out to you. Amen.
That's right.
Glory. Well, I thought what I've been thinking about this week, I've been haven't had much time reading this week because we've been off the band shell.
Been reading
the Bible, listening to the Bible, but I was looking at it afterwards, and even last week, I got looking at these blood moons again everybody talked about. You know, we had those in 2014 and 15, and a lot of people are looking to that, showing something about the last days, maybe something about the future and all that. But as I look at this, you find out, you know, a harbinger usually comes and warns people about something that's going to happen. And a lot of people looked at these blood moons like maybe it was a harbinger. But you can find out from Judaism and their writings that the blood moons to them was a sign to Israel that God was going to do something or had already done something special. And then these last 2 years, between 14 and 15, there was also a solar eclipse that only happens, that happened in between 2014 and 2015. And it hadn't appeared like that for over thousands and thousands of years before that, with a solar eclipse at the same time. And so in Judaism, they understand the solar eclipse, if there's one there, is a not necessarily a warning, but something for people to take notice with the whole world that something might be going to happen, or maybe already did happen. And so as I looked at this, I got thinking about this. So the first place I went to last week when I was reading all this, I went over to Joel chapter 2, and I want to read a little bit of scripture with you. And we know that on the day of Pentecost, what happened and all that. And I'm going to start in verse 14 here.
Well, some people may not know.
Yeah, that's right.
If you haven't read the book of Acts.
They haven't read the book of Acts. But verse 14 says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, he's one of the apostles, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." See, they thought they were drunk when these tongues came out on that particular day.
Because they spoke in a new tongue.
Another tongue that they didn't know, you know. "For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing is but the third hour of the day." This was at 9 o'clock in the morning, the hour of prayer. "But this is that," he says, "which was spoken by the prophet Joel." That was spoken hundreds of years before.
That's in the Old Testament.
It's in the First Covenant, right. And this is what it says over there, and we're going to read this. "And it shall come to pass in the last days." Are we in the last days? We
yes,
are, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
"Saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." See, we've got people that don't even believe in that today, but it's going on, hallelujah. "And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." Now this is a verse that I looked at this week. "The sun shall be turned into darkness." For that to happen, that's a solar eclipse. "And the moon into blood." That's a lunar eclipse. "Before that great and notable day of the Lord come." Now this says before that great day. Now think about this. We're thinking about today where we're at.
Before.
Yeah, we're thinking about that today. Now, we've already been through 2014 and 15. Those moons have already appeared, all right?
That was
so
before.
That's all before now. Now we're after this.
Now we've had a super moon, and that was before also.
That's right. And then verse 21 says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." So this is the main thing I'm looking at this week, mainly
He couldn't be kept in the grave.
He couldn't be kept in the grave. And so we see these four blood moons came, and they're gone now. And there's a lot of thoughts about it before, about showing us something about the last days. But the more I looked at this, and some material I've been reading the last week and a half or so, it kind of shows you some things with history with Israel. The blood moons are assigned to Israel. And I've got a chart in one of these books I looked at that really touched my heart when I looked at it. And I just wanted to show you this, that you might understand a little bit more about these blood moons. And we're looking for something for the last days. But see, a harbinger is a warning of something's going to happen. But these blood moons, when we look, even think about it, it happened when Israel became a nation in 48. But when did the blood moons come? In the year 1949 and 1950. After this. This is interesting. So this is an interesting chart. Now they're called tetrads. There's four groups of blood moons that come, and you know, they don't come all the time. It's been a lot of years, but we got a bunch of them here in the Bible. And the first one here, we're thinking about when the Exodus was given, and when the Exodus went out, and then the giving of the Torah. This was about 1579 to 1578 BCE. They had those tetrads at that time. And then King David and the Psalms came. This was in 1058 BC and 57, all after the events happened. And then we have, this is interesting, the Mishnah and the Talmud came. You know, the Mishnah came first and then the Talmud. Well, it was in 162 AD now and 163, after those events had been put in place. And then we have the Siddur, the prayer book that the Jews used, was in 860 AD and 861 AD. With these moons were there again. And then we have, this was an interesting one, the Gutenberg printing press, who allowed the Bibles to be printed so people could have, they could be produced quickly. This was in 1428 and 1429 AD. So this all happened after the Gutenberg press came out.
These are all important things that happened
with Israel, and how important it is for us too.
Well, in the Bible there, yeah. Right there.
Yeah. And then we have, then the Dead Sea Scrolls. When were they found?
Wow.
And Israel was declared a nation, 1949, 1950.
Same
so they
time.
Became a nation in 1948. But the interesting thing
and the
was,
word came out from what? It was like hidden in the stones and the walls.
But the interesting thing, the blood moons came after that. When Columbus, we talk about Columbus in 1492, what happened? The tetrads were there also, but they didn't appear until 1493 and 94, after Columbus had left and all that. And so, you know, people have been thinking about this, an end time prophecy for the end. God's trying to show us something that he was doing at a particular time and how important it was for us to understand. And there's been a lot of events with Israel when these things happen. And I just shared a few of them with you. But it's amazing when we think about what those blood moons are all about. And we just read this scripture right here. It says, before the great and terrible day of the Lord.
I like, too, what it says in verse 21, because after these things that you just talked about, these moons, that, you know, it says it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That's right.
So this is a prophetic word of, you know, now there's people calling on the name of the Lord and they're going to be saved. And what? He says, and your young men, and, you know, they're going to see visions, and your old men are going to dream dreams. And the Spirit of God is going to be poured upon all flesh, right?
That's right.
The sons and the daughters are prophesying. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't understand prophecy. Well, you know, you need to know the Lord. When you know the Lord and you seek him and you move and you, like you said, you get trained in prophecy, because the prophecy is just saying what God says, is hearing God's voice and repeating what God says.
That's it.
God speaks to his people, and he also gives us unctions by the Spirit. But, you know, a lot of times people don't recognize it. We don't recognize it's God speaking to us. It's God directing us. It's God's giving us a word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we get into the word and we read the word, you know, and then we meditate upon the word, like it says in the Psalms, to muse upon the word. To think about, to meditate, and to just to let it sink in. Let it soak into your spirit, man.
That's right.
You know, then you have a place where your spirit is calm, and you're resting in the Lord, and you're able to, then all of a sudden you can hear God's voice and God will speak to you. And so then when you begin to speak God's word, you know, it's like you don't get a whole sentence, or you may not get a whole paragraph, but once you start to speak God's word or sing it, or singing in the spirit like we do in church, you sing in the spirit, you know, prophecy begins to flow.
Right.
It's something that comes out. It's a gift. Because
mm-hmm.
he says he's going to, this is a gift he gives to your sons and your daughters. You know, we can all If we all get in the spirits, it's connecting our human spirit
Amen.
To the spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And then and hearing the word of the Lord, hearing from the Lord, and then prophecy flows, or even a direction of what we should do, which way we should go, what decisions we should make. See, if we seek the Lord first, He gives us the answers.
That's right. Sure does.
By His Spirit.
Hallelujah. So I gave you six things here, with these tetrarchs, these moons. And these are spiritual treasures that were released into the world during blood moons. Now, I thought about this a little bit. Also thinking about this, they had another tetrad of these moons in 1949 and 50. We mentioned it a moment ago when Israel became a nation in 48. But these moons didn't show up until the next year. This was like a moral peak, really. And then the next one came off the Six-Day War, all right? And that was in 67 and 68, so they didn't appear till the following year. And then we just went through 14 and 15. What do we have? An economic peak. Maybe that was telling us something about this election, about Trump being put in office. Something, it was something released. A spiritual thing was released. And it doesn't mean it was going to happen right then. But everything that we see through all this, they had a particular time came. And then we find out, then the following year or 2 years, then the moons came. What? I guess confirming what was already put in place in a spiritual sense. And so I thought this was very interesting about these moons. And we've had all kinds of thoughts and teaching about the blood moons and to understand what it's all about. And so it's amazing, we had four of those, didn't we? Two of them were at Passover in 14 and 15. Two of them were what? At the beginning of Tabernacles in 2014 and 15. And so God repeated it 2 years in a row.
And they were on the Feast of the Lord.
All on the Feast of
and
the Lord.
And everything seems to, it doesn't seem to. Everything has to do with Israel. The timing, the timing
mm-hmm.
has to do with Israel.
That's right.
So they were on God's holy feast. And that's why your book is so important, because everything that's in your book is around the feast.
Around God's appointed
times.
It's all about His. That's right. And He doesn't change. He tells us, and we have to understand a lot of things. And so, there was a lot of words spoken in the First Covenant about Jesus' first coming. There's lots of them that were spoken, words that were spoken prophetically revealing what was going to happen. And we even, go over to Exodus chapter 12, when they laid up the lamb and did all that. What was that? It was all prophetic to when Yeshua was going to come to this earth, and He was the lamb that died for mankind, just like the lamb in the wilderness was. And those families was killed, the blood was shed, put on the doorpost and lintel, and God passed over them when the judgments came upon the land at that particular time. So these are interesting, but what I'm trying to convey is the blood moons are not harbingers. A harbinger to me is something that hasn't happened yet. We can go over and read in Isaiah chapter 9, 10, and 11 about the harbingers that Jonathan Cahn revealed in his book and all that. Well, that was a warning to Israel, and to Judah, the southern tribes, that was going to happen. Well, they mocked God. Well, it was a harbinger, and it wasn't long after that it was truly fulfilled, and judgment did come. And so we have to remember how God puts things in order for us to understand it. And like she said, Pastor Donna said, everything revolves around the times that God put in place. And so here we are, we're getting ready to come up on Hanukkah now. This is an interesting thought. Now, I don't know if anybody's thought about this. We've taught on it for years. But remember, Jesus Christ is called the light of the world. We can read in John chapter 1, can't we, Pastor Donna, about Him being the light. And so if we really look at the scriptures and understand when He was born, we can look at Luke chapter 1 and 2. It's been there for hundreds of years, in the Bible. You can put it all together and you can find out the biblical dates of Yeshua's conception and His birth. And what is Hanukkah called? It's called what? The Festival of Lights. How long does it last? It lasts for 8 days.
8 days.
The candle, miraculously, only had enough oil for
miracle.
1 day, but it lasted for 8 days. Well, Yeshua was conceived during that time. So if we go 280 days in the future, which is the normal gestation period for a woman, what do you come to? The Feast of Tabernacles, okay? Well, what is the Feast of Tabernacles' main theme? It's a festival of lights.
Lights again. Jesus said He's the light.
He's the light of the world.
He spoke that at that
time.
That's
right. So He fulfills both of those. And so a lot of people think, Hanukkah, that's just a Jewish thing. No, it's something for us to learn as well and to understand what God's trying to show us.
I believe it says that in John, where He walked into the... John, when he declared that?
John 10.
Was it John 10?
Chapter 10, yeah.
Right.
You can go read that if you want to.
I'm going to read that because on that first day of Hanukkah.
It's called dedication.
Yeah, it's dedication. First day of, and you know, Yeshua, he celebrated that also. Yes. He celebrated
Hanukkah. He certainly
that's
did.
Right. And
where's it down around verse 20, I believe, somewhere? Go on down, chapter 10.
Chapter 10.
Mm-hmm. Did you find it?
Thank you, Lord. Verse 20.
I should have marked it here. It's in chapter
22.
Okay, 22.
You're right,
read
because
it.
This is, you know, Jesus celebrated Hanukkah.
Sure
he
did.
He knew what Hanukkah was all about. You know, every Jewish person knows what Hanukkah is all about. You know, because that was there was a battle there. And there
That's
was
right.
a battle for their lives
That's
because
right.
of the Maccabees.
Mm-hmm.
So they all, you know, thanked the Lord because it saved their life that they could go on.
A handful of men did
they
it
had,
too.
It was, a small army, but they were dedicated to
God was on their side.
Take back Jerusalem
That's
and
right.
not let the enemy have it.
That's right.
So it says here in chapter 10, verse 22, it says, it was at Jerusalem the Feast of Dedication. That means Hanukkah. That's Hanukkah.
Right. That's what Hanukkah means.
And it was winter. So mm-hmm. this tells us it's in the winter. Hanukkah's in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. Now, we're talking about prophecy, weren't we, a few
That's
months
right.
ago?
That's right.
If you belong to the Lord, if you're his sheep, you hear his voice. Jesus
Hallelujah.
Said that.
That's right.
He says, and I know them, and they follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And I give unto them eternal life.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And they shall never perish. Wow. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
That's right.
My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Shit.
I and my Father are one.
This
There's
is what
that
he,
word,
yeah.
Ikad. One.
Yeah, one.
One.
This is what the Jews
in
got
the
more accept, right? Got upset,
so
upset about,
he,
right?
Yes, they got upset about
yeah.
this because he said, I and my Father are one. This is proof right here, what Jesus said, that
mm-hmm.
they were one. Then the Jews took up stones, what? Because they were against him to,
they wanted stone,
to kill him.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, many good works have I shown you from my Father. See, he only did what his Father told
That's
him
right.
to do. For which of those works do ye stone me? So so this was at the time of dedication.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus went in there and he spoke in the temple at that time, on Solomon's porch.
We need to read verse 33. It says, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not,
mm-hmm. but
for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. See, they knew the history with Hanukkah, of what Antiochus Epiphanes
mm-hmm.
the fourth did way back in that time when Hanukkah was established. They know what he was, the one that he came in, and he desecrated the temple. He made a statue of his god, Zeus, put his
right.
face on it, and declared himself to be God. So they said, well, we had a man before that did that. Okay, and so here they were accusing Jesus of doing the same thing that Antiochus Epiphanes did, but they didn't see it spiritually, that this was the Son of the living God. And so that's why Jesus told him, I and my Father are one. And so he was the true God. He was all God, he was all man, wasn't he, Pastor
Why
God?
Don't you go ahead and finish reading what Jesus said there, verse
okay.
34.
Verse 34 says, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, your Torah, I said, ye are gods. This is over in Psalms 82, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
If he called them gods, we know small g, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent unto the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, listen to this.
Believe
the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father
is
in me, and I in him.
We
can walk in the same realm. He's in us, so we can do the works the Father has us to know and to do. Amen?
We are followers of the Lord.
That's
we're
right.
to obey His voice.
That's right.
Just as He obeyed the Father's voice, we're to obey. When we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Father. He said He would send us the Holy Spirit, right?
That's right.
And we'd be born again, born from above. And he and we would receive gifts. You know, He went back to the Father.
Amen.
So that we could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so that we would be able to follow Him and do his works and do what He's called us to do.
And be ministers of reconciliation.
And be ministers of reconciliation.
That's right.
And we are ambassadors
for Christ. That's right.
For every single person that has asked Jesus into their heart, we're to be an ambassador for Christ. And to do the works that He has, and to be an example. See, our life needs to be a living example.
Amen.
Our attitude, or what we do, how we act, how we respond, how we share the gospel. We need to follow. Jesus has given us all of these examples.
Absolutely.
In His life, you know, and the disciples as well. What about Paul's life? You know, what about Peter's life? What about they all died of a terrible death, didn't they? Except for John. Well, John was, he suffered a lot.
Yeah, he sure
on the island of Patmos.
Yeah, he did.
And lived to be an old man.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have all these examples throughout the Bible, even in the Old Testament.
So what were they persecuted and killed for? They were out declaring that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and about the resurrection. And that's what they all had, the same message. And they didn't have 25 different messages. It was always the same message. Jesus came, died for all mankind, shed His blood that our sins could be washed away completely, and we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things are passed away, and we begin anew, don't we? That's what He came to do. He came to change our thought patterns and to believe a new way, to turn. In fact, you know, we were just there in Acts. Let me just read this with you for a moment.
Well, and, you know, Jesus told them, too, you know, how to be saved.
That's right.
In John chapter 3, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto mm-hmm. you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom
mm-hmm.
of God."
That's right.
He was speaking to Nicodemus. He was speaking to a Jewish person.
That's right.
And He said, told him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." We're talking about mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit. "He cannot enter into the kingdom of God."
Mm-hmm.
"That which is born of the flesh is flesh." We were all born of the flesh, right?
That's right.
And "that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." We have the Holy Spirit within our spirit. And then Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto ye, ye must be born again." A lot of people don't know what that word means, that terminology, being born again. Born from above.
Spiritual birth.
That's
yeah.
right. Must be born again. Where did I leave off at?
Chapter 3 you're in.
I know I'm in chapter 3. okay. "Marvel not that I say unto ye, must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit."
That's right.
You don't know.
Sure.
It comes. Without observation.
The word "listeth" means it just comes from any direction.
It comes
yeah.
without observation.
When I got saved, I don't know where it came from. Did it come right in front of above me, straight above? Did it come from the east, the west, the north, the south? I don't know, but it came. Glory be to God.
Mm.
So I was going to take you over to Acts chapter 2 here. You know, on the day of Pentecost, it tells us in verse 37, and well, before this, Peter preached a message about Yeshua and what happened with His resurrection and all. And then verse 37 says, "Now when they had heard this," heard what? The message of Christ. Well, I'm going to read 36. This is what they heard. "Therefore, Peter said, Lord, all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, Yeshua, whom you have crucified, both Lord," that means He's God, "and Christ," He's the anointed Messiah.
It's the Messiah.
"And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" They want to receive this. "Then Peter said unto them, repent," it means what? Repent, turn around and go another direction. Have a new thought about this man named Yeshua. Repent, turn around.
Leave your sins behind.
That's right. And then He says, "And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach for the remission of your sins." The baptism didn't remove the sins. What removed it was what happened before. They repented and came to Yeshua. He's the one that wipes it out, not the water washing. Now, that was just an outward appearance of what happened in your heart. And He says, "And you shall what? Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost," with this soko san de beke san braba that so much of the church denies today. That's the gift. It's not the gift of salvation. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, it says, and to all that are far off. That's me and Pastor Don here and anyone else that's received this. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from the untoward, this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word, they were born again, in other words, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls, the first fruits on that day. And they were all Jews. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The church doesn't even believe there's apostles today, but there are. Apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Amen? Amen. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and so on. This is how they were born again. Donna just read that. You know, she just talked about something. I'm going to share something here with you that we need to talk about. That only one translation of the Bible reveals this, and it's called the King James Version. It's in chapter 3. I'm going to read this. And I'm going
John
to read
chapter 3.
I'm going to read this the way the other Bibles read, and then I'm going to show you what it says in the King James. Verse 7. The other Bible says, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. That's not what was said here. The King James makes it clear. Jesus, now here's King James. Marvel not that I said unto thee. The thee was talking to Nicodemus, wasn't he? Then we have the word ye in there, not you. Ye means everyone. You all must be what?
Born again.
Born from above. That's exactly
so
what
So the two words are different. One is right. The word thee, and the other one is the word ye.
That's right.
And those two words really change. If you change it to another word, then you're really changing the meaning.
That's right. One is singular and the other is plural.
Right,
he is a plural.
He was speaking to Nicodemus.
That's
he's
right.
saying
individually.
Thee, meaning you.
Uh-huh.
And then he was speaking to the world by saying not you, because
you
all is one, singular.
Everybody.
But saying you all, ye. Ye is just you all. And I think we all know what you all means, right?
That's right.
So he says, whenever you see the word ye in the Bible, and it's only in the King James Bible, I believe.
Yeah, it is.
It means you all must be born again, or
that's
you
right.
all must
all.
Do this. You
that's
all
right.
must do that. Because you'll see the word ye in the Bible a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And so this way, when we see that, we'll know that Jesus is speaking to everyone.
That's right. So it's amazing when we think about even the
it's
translations,
amazing.
How they can change things. And God told us in the Word, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, not to add anything to the Word or to diminish anything. And the book of Revelation ends with the same statements as well. So the Word of God is important. We've got a lot of things being changed. But the whole thing, remember, we've all sinned and missed the glory of God. If we told one little lie during our life, we need a Savior. And the only one that can save us from our sins, his name is Yeshua HaMashiach. He came and died for you. Shed his blood that your sins could be wiped away. That's what it's about when we take communion together. It's a spiritual thing, and we can have fellowship with him. And so we know that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah.
So, thank you, Lord.
So we have to have people come. So if you're listening today, and you maybe been riding on the fence, and you're wondering whether this man was really who he says he is, well, you ought to take a look again. Get a Bible if you don't have one, or borrow one, and read John chapter 3. Read Acts chapter 1, 2 in there, and see what you can see with all that, showing that there's no way other way into heaven except through Jesus Christ. He's the way. He says it. He told us in John 14, 6, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by me. See, he's the way. He's the only way. No other way. He's the only way. He's the way, he's the truth of that, and he's the one that brings us salvation. So we have to keep that in mind with everything we think when we read the Word of God. He's trying to draw us to him, that we'll walk with him in a new way. I love it. I like this. I'm over in Romans chapter 3 now, if you're at home and listening to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to go to chapter 3. I want to just back up here. We need a little context here.
Romans chapter 3.
Chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 19 of chapter 3. Now, Paul says, by the Spirit of God, now we know that what things soever the law, this means the Torah, saith, it saith to them who are under what? Under the Torah, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Hallelujah. See, the Jewish people had a thing called legalism that they were really deep in. And Paul used this term under the law many times to refer to legalism. You know, the original commandments, I think, was 214. Well, now I think there's 613. So they added commandments made by man around the 213 original ones to make sure that you kept that. That's all legalistic aspects, and Paul was coming against it. You read the book of Galatians, you can understand that. So I'm going to read that again. Now we know that what things soever the law or the Torah saith, it saith to them who are under the Torah, and every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the Torah, hear this, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. In other words, declared righteous. See, the Torah, we've talked about this. We're talking about these new moons and all, the blood moons. Remember, the Torah was never put in place for salvation. It was to give instructions to God's people. And if you're born again, you're God's people, how to walk a holy and righteous life before him. That's what it was for. There shall no flesh be justified or declared right in his sight by the law or the Torah. Is because why? For the law of the Torah is the knowledge of what? Of sin. Then he goes on, but now the righteousness of God without the Torah is manifested, being witnessed by the Torah and the prophets. Well, what righteousness is he talking about? The righteousness of Yeshua. Now here he tells you in verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I just mentioned that. Now 24, being justified. This word means being declared righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We're justified freely. We don't earn it. We can't do enough to earn it. Now verse 25, whom God hath set. Who did God set here for to be a propitiation? It was Yeshua, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That means a sacrifice right there for an offering. That's what it is. It's like the ark when they in the old covenant, first covenant, when the high priest went in, he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat.
Bloody propitiation.
That's right. So the propitiation is a bloody sacrifice.
Faith in his blood.
Through faith in what? Like Donna just said, in his what? In Yeshua's blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God. Isn't that incredible?
He paid the price.
He sure did.
He paid the price for all of our sins.
Then he says, to declare, I say, Paul says, at this time, his righteousness, mm-hmm. God's righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus or Yeshua.
So his blood justifies us.
That's right.
Cleanses us
That's right.
from sin.
And then Paul says, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what Torah or law? Of works? Nay. But by what? The Torah or law of what? Of faith. It's always been by faith.
Because therefore, the faith is written, faith is in our heart.
In our heart. Therefore, he says, we conclude that a man is justified, in other words, he's declared righteous by faith, without the deeds of the law, or the Torah.
Without the works of the law.
That's right. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, mm-hmm. which shall justify or declare righteous, why? The circumcision by faith, those are the Jewish people, and the uncircumcision through faith the same way.
It's only faith.
Do we then make void the Torah through faith? God forbid.
No.
Yea, we establish the Torah. Well, how would it be established? Because it has always been, it's always been by faith.
And the law is then, because when we become born again, born from above, mm-hmm. we receive Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, in our hearts, but the Torah is written on our hearts.
Absolutely.
It's the Spirit of God that's written on our hearts, and we follow after we're led by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Because we have faith in Yeshua and faith in his blood and what he did for us, that he removed our sins.
Mm-hmm.
He removed our sins. When we believed in him, he removed our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Because he was righteous, he took those sins
Absolutely.
Upon his own flesh
Hallelujah.
And suffered
sure
the pain of the cross and died.
Tried. Now I'm going to go to chapter 10 with you in Romans and just read a few verses here.
And praise God, he didn't stay in the grave.
That's right. So we think
so
about...
So what is righteousness? Righteousness is through faith, right?
That's right. That's for how we receive.
I'm going to read verse 13 in chapter 4.
Go ahead.
For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith.
Hallelujah.
To what? To all, right? To everyone.
To everyone. It's always been by faith. Now, chapter 10, verse 1. Now, remember, Paul says here, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That should be our prayer, that all the Jewish people get saved. How
Amen.
They get saved?
We should pray for Jews.
They got to come to Yeshua. Now, look at what he says. This is what they're doing over there right now in Israel. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, mm-hmm. but not according to knowledge. We have the knowledge of what God's told us in the new covenant here, what we need to know. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, see, God's righteousness is Yeshua.
That's it.
And going about to establish their own righteousness. You ought to see some of the things they're doing.
Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Of God.
They need to turn, they need to keep going
That's
in
right.
the Bible.
That's right. Let's go on, let's skip this and go on down here.
Go
down to verse 6. Now we got a but.
But
the righteousness which is of faith, because it's always been by faith, speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. It can't be done anymore. It's only was done one. It was one time done. God did it. Verse 7, or who shall descend into the deep? No one. It's not going to happen. He came to the earth, died, went into hell for 3 days and came out of it. He's never going to go back there again. So it's never going to happen again. That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. It'll never happen, will it, Pastor
No.
Don? Now, verse 8, this is the key part. But, here's another but. But what saith it? This is in Deuteronomy chapter 30. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, Paul says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess what? That he's Lord of your life, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then he tells you how to do it right here in verse 10. For with the heart, what's this mean? This means with heart faith, man believeth unto righteousness, unto Christ and God's righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. See, in this day, when Paul wrote this letter, the Roman emperors wanted to be called God. And so Paul was telling them what Jesus was supposed to represent and know that he was truly God on this earth. And so he wanted them to confess in their mouth the Lord. It means Jesus is God. And that he is the Savior of the world.
Verse 13 says, for whosoever, who's the whosoever?
Everybody, I'm the whosoever. Yeah.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
And he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Mm-hmm. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And
Amen.
How shall they preach except they be sent? We're all to be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This, I believe, is in Isaiah 52.
Look at your feet.
That's right. They're beautiful. But they have not all obeyed the gospel.
Mm.
For Isaiah, this is talking about Isaiah, saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now, here's the key verse. So then faith, remember we come by faith.
Gotta
so then
hear.
Faith cometh by what? Hearing.
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God.
We
Amen?
Must hear. We must
That's
speak
right.
the word of God.
Mm-hmm. And wow. then verse 18. But I say, Paul says, have they not heard? Because he was there preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, the Gentiles, huh? And by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Isn't that incredible? And then he goes into chapter 11. I'm just going to read the first verse. I say then, Paul says, hath God cast away his people? He says, God forbid, he has not cast them away. For I I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So here we have all right here, chapter 10 tells you how you must be saved. There's only one way. And so we can't go up to heaven and bring Christ back down. He's already been here and he went back. He'll determine the day one day when he's going to come back for all of us.
Amen.
Because he tells us that he went to prepare a mansion for us over there in John 14. And then we can't take, he was in the earth. We can't come and we can't bring him down, put him in the earth again like when he died, and then raise him up again. That's what it's telling you. You can't do that. It's already been done. He tells us that. And then I like that but in verse 8. The word is nigh thee. But what saith it? The Bible, the word, in Deuteronomy 30. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. In thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's an amazing message, Pastor Donna.
Amen.
And so somebody's probably saying, what's that got to do with the blood moons? Well, it's got a lot to do, because those blood moons is a sign to Israel that something's going to happen. Now, mm-hmm. We've already went through the 2014 and 15. Now we're into 16, and we're almost done with 16. Something's coming up, maybe. We don't know. And I think our dear brother that found out all this with that book he wrote about the blood moons, Mark Biltz, I think he looked into the future, and I don't know how far out he went, but we don't have a tetrad of moons coming, but maybe that'll happen yet. We don't know in the future. I don't know what year it might be. He didn't say how far out he looked when he looked into the charts and all they got from NASA. But anyway, they're there. They're showing us something like we just this past year, something had already happened with Israel in 14 and 15 about the blood moons. Something had already happened. Now, our thought should be, what could we possibly determine that Lord gave to the world and to Israel and to the church as well prior to those blood moons coming, that's instrumental in us going out and sharing the gospel and bringing some knowledge to people about things that maybe happen that's going to reveal something in the near future that will repeat. History repeats itself over and over again, and so we have to understand that. And if we do, well, then we could possibly understand more things about the prophetic word. So those moons, I truly believe, are signs for Israel, like the Jewish people believe.
Amen.
But it doesn't mean it's an end time one. It's just showing us something. God's trying to get Israel's attention all the time. And like we mentioned about the solar eclipses, well, they believe that's for the world.
And well, the supermoon that we just
that's
had.
That's right. There's a supermoon.
The supermoon that we just had this month during the Bible Marathon.
That's right. Maybe that's what I was talking about, a supermoon.
And
yeah.
It actually was on, the 15th.
That's
which
right.
Which is when you have a full moon. It's always on the 15th of
that's
the
right.
Hebrew, of any Hebrew month. It's on the 15th,
mm-hmm.
14th, 15th.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and so here we have the supermoon, and this is right at the very end of the Bible Reading Marathon. It's the largest moon that they've had since 1948.
Yeah, almost 70 years.
So here we have 40, right. So here we have the supermoon too. So, it says, we just read that, there's going to be signs in the heavens.
So what does a supermoon
signs
mean?
Signs in the heavens.
What's a supermoon mean? It means it's the closest to the earth that it's been since 1948. And it was big, wasn't it? And we couldn't see it that night at the Bible Marathon because we had clouds. But the next night we got home, boy, you could really see
really,
it.
Really
you could
see
really
it.
See it. I mean, it was gorgeous.
So is that a sign that it's close? The time is close.
Could
Jesus
be.
Is coming soon.
Could be.
The time, we're getting so close.
That's right.
Things are happening quickly.
But people can take those moons and they can start setting dates and stuff. And that's not what God wants us to do with it. Yeah. So we got about 5 minutes to go here. So, I don't know, we kind of led into this thing about the importance of salvation, of being born again, born from above. I've talked to a lot of people that claim to know Jesus and been going to church for years, and I ask them if they're born again, and they have no clue what I'm talking about. They don't know what it means to be born again. It's an event that came from heaven. You're born from above. I don't know how to explain it. Jesus came into my heart that day on the side of the road. I was born again. I knew something happened in my heart. I knew it when I got up and started running home. I knew that something happened in my heart. And so that's what it's all about. And Jesus promised in John chapter 14 that he's going to come back again. And we're looking forward to that time. Now, we don't know for sure exactly when what year. We know the season of the year. I believe the Bible shows that in the fall. But we don't know what year for sure we're on. But one year, God will bring it to a conclusion. And so we have to walk by faith, not by sight, don't we, Pastor Don? And I'm going to look at that verse again there in Romans 10:17. So then faith And when it says cometh, that means it's coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This word here in the Greek language is the word rhema. So it would be read like this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the living word of God. The day I got saved, I heard a living word, a rhema word from God that touched Pastor Gene's heart. And that's what had me get on my knees and say, Lord, I want to follow you from this day forward. I want to commit my life to you. And that's all. It's so simple. People make it so difficult. It's a simple thing.
Well, what does the word rhema mean? Tell the people what that means.
It's a living word.
A living word.
It's a living word. See, we have this book I got. It's called the Logos Word that God gave. Well, then off of the Logos is a rhema. A living word comes off of that. Like we talk about the first
time. Well, how do you receive that living word?
By faith.
By faith.
Same way.
So you read a scripture, and then you meditate upon it, right? And you can get a living word. Or
ask God, what do you have for me in this?
For you.
That's right.
Not for history, not for a thousand years ago, but
that's
for right now.
Right now.
For right
because
now.
God has now words for all of us.
We all need to hear from God right now,
absolutely.
Every day.
That's right. And so it's so wonderful to know that.
But we need direction.
That's right. We look at the first covenant, there's a lot of legalistic things that they did. We don't sacrifice animals and do all that. But see, there's a spiritual, there's a rhema, a living word that comes off of all
that's
those
why
first
we need to pray.
Covenant words.
Pastor Gene, why prayer is important right now but with what's going on in the world today and with having a new president. We need to pray.
Absolutely.
And we need to hear from the Lord. We need to pray what God is directing us to pray about.
Absolutely.
Because we need a living word to do what God wants us to do in these
Absolutely.
Very last days. Because many people need to be saved.
That's it. And so you might be instrumental just saying one word that you heard from God and speak it to someone else. And it becomes a living word to them. And that quick, they can make a decision to receive Christ into their life. And it's not just some thing they rattle out of their mind. We have to ask them when they pray. Pray this out of your heart. We just read this by faith. Huh? For with what? The heart. With heart faith is what it says.
Heart faith.
Man believeth what? Unto God's righteousness, his Son, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we confess. We can't remember every sin we did, but we can confess the blood over our life, and the Lord can just wipe those things up. And as you come, he'll bring more things to your attention that you might have walked in that was wrong, and as he does, then you ask for forgiveness. It's a continual walk. You repent of that. Ask God to forgive you of that. And so he's going to cover you by his blood. So thank God for the blood of Yeshua. Well,
Amen.
Honey, we're down to about a minute and a half here.
Well, I just want
Time
to give the telephone
so
number
fast.
Again. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon until 1 o'clock. You can also listen to us again. Listen to this. You can go to WCNO and go to Saturday and listen to the program again or other programs we have done, WCNO, and keep them in prayer. Amen. We have services here and nothing today. No services this afternoon.
Right.
But tomorrow we will have service at 10 o'clock in the
wow.
morning.
Wow. Thank you,
so,
Lord.
So, yes, amen. So come visit us if you can. We're right here in Stuart, Florida, and right on Canner Highway and Monterey Road in the Monterey Plaza. Mm-hmm. And the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. 7007.
So Don and I are on this program every week. My voice is getting a little scratchy every week because we want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ. We want you
Amen.
To be drawn closer to the Lord, have a close walk with him, and you'll never regret it. So we tell you every week as we close on this program, we tell you to look up because every day that goes by, your redemption draweth near. What would we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.